Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution. Hello, and welcome to ID the Future. I'm Annika Smith, broadcasting with the Center for Science and Culture here in Seattle, and today I'm talking with Jay Richards, Senior Fellow with the Center and noted author and editor about artificial intelligence and intelligent design. Jay, thank you for being on the show.
Thanks, Annika. Great to be with you.
Well, it's in the news because last night Watson won the Jeopardy challenge, and we're hearing a lot more about how artificial intelligence is developing, and some people are having adverse reactions, I guess. There's a lot of fear about the Borg coming, and just a lot of amusement about Watson himself.
Yeah.
You've done a fair amount of thinking on the subject since you edited the book, Are We Spiritual Machines, which, of course, took on Ray Kurzweil.
Right.
What does Watson's win mean?
Well, Watson, I would say Watson's this IBM computer that beat really the two greatest human champions at this game of Jeopardy in two different games. I would say that what it indicates is that we're getting closer to the time in which a computer will be able to replicate human-like capacity for language. The technical term is getting closer to what's often called the Turing test. The Turing test is just, it's basically this thought experiment in which you have a judge and he's asking questions of two people behind a screen. And if he, under questioning, can't tell which one is human and which one is a computer, then that computer has passed the Turing test. For years, we've been used to, of course, computers being able to accomplish all sorts of really specific tasks for which you can produce an algorithm. So, for instance, calculators, you know, you have very straightforward algorithms. And so we are accustomed to calculators working. We're even accustomed to computers being able to ask very specific questions. But what's interesting about Watson is that when you're playing Jeopardy, you've got all these different reference frames and contexts in the question.
Right.
Sometimes a question is merely trivia. Sometimes it's a pun that talks about or references one word that rhymes with another word, but neither word is mentioned in the question. All these kinds of things that humans are really good at, but that computers have not been especially good at. And so I do think it's significant and that we're moving closer to that point in which computers will master something like human language.
Is this artificial intelligence?
Well, of course, that's the million-dollar question, and this is really the reason I think people have so much anxiety about artificial intelligence, is that it means different things to different people. The sort of technical term for what we're dealing with is called weak artificial intelligence. That just means that a computer is mimicking some aspect of human intelligence or intelligence more generally. That's all we're ever dealing with, and if you watch the Jeopardy shows, it's quite clear we're dealing with a computer that's really, really fast and has access to lots of different things. But what happens both in the popular imagination and in the AI literature is you get slippage from weak artificial intelligence, that is mimicking of an intelligent agent, to strong artificial intelligence in which the AI, the computer, is actually conscious. It's like an agent which chooses through different options, has intentions and things like that. And that's the sort of slippage, because what we imagine is something like The Matrix or Terminator, in which computers become conscious, they turn out to be malevolent, and they all either kill us all or they enslave us. But what's happening is this logical slippage from weak AI to strong AI, that is from computation to consciousness, and there's no logical connection between those two.
Right. And now some people are saying that once we get that strong AI, that will completely disprove intelligent design. Why are they making this argument? What's the logic behind that?
Yeah, there's not a lot of logic behind it. I mean, it's true that there's a lot of materialistic assumptions in the AI debate. People will basically, they might not say this explicitly, but they think something like this. Well, we're intelligent, we're conscious, and that consciousness obviously just happened at some point. It wasn't the result of any design. And so if consciousness just pops into existence at some, you know, degree of computational speed or complexity, why won't that happen with computers? Well, that's a presupposition rather than an argument, that consciousness just sort of happens at some point along the path of increasing computation. But ironically, I mean, if you think about it, let's say we could create strong AI, that is, we could create computers that actually become conscious. What would that prove? Well, that would prove that human beings are intelligent enough that we can create other intelligences, right? It's an example of intelligent design. And I'm continued to be amazed that people don't notice this. In fact, every time we get a more sophisticated computer, everyone focuses on the computer and they're usually a little frightened. They forget all the human ingenuity of the computer programmers and engineers that created the thing. I mean, this is an example of intelligent design. It's certainly not an example of either consciousness or even weak intelligent activity kind of just spontaneously emerging over time.
Right. That's interesting. I don't know if it's a fair analogy, but you come across the same sort of argument when people look at nature and they see how marvelous or mm-hmm. how majestic or how great the depths of the sea or how high the mountains or whatever sure. it is. And then they look at that and they say, how could something so vast, how could the universe that is mm-hmm. so large have a creator behind it?
Right? Yeah.
Which to another way of looking at it just proves the magnificence of the creator.
That's
if
right.
You take that
yeah,
stance.
Right. No, I mean, right. A lot of this does show the role that our metaphysical assumptions play in this.
Right.
Now, I would never say, you know, we're just these logic machines and we don't see anything except what we assume. I mean, we interact constantly with the world around us, the world outside of ourselves. What we want is to make assumptions about the world that are accurate and also that allow us to be open to the evidence from nature. And that's why I'm frankly fascinated by the AI debate, because you get a sort of a confluence of lots of these different questions. What's the nature of intelligent agency? What's the nature of human agency and human beings? What kind of things can we create? All those things come into play here. And I frankly think it's an open question how much exactly we will be able to create. I mean, I'm a Christian, so I believe that we're created in the image of a creative God. We don't create things out of nothing, but we do take the material world and we can transform it in ways that are, I think, surprising.
Right.
And people often say, well, you know, these computers, they're doing things that not even the programmers anticipate. That's true. They sort of set up the conditions, but that's true of all entrepreneurial activity. Virtually no entrepreneur ever anticipates all the possible uses or sort of end uses of something
right.
that he or she creates. That's the nature of creativity and entrepreneurial creativity in particular. So I think what we're dealing with high technology and computer technology is this manifestation of human creativity and of the fact that there's a sort of mystery as to its outcome. We can anticipate some of those things, but we never imagine all the uses or implications of the things we create.
Right. Sort of going along with that, Tolkien's idea of humanity and our creativity as sub-creators.
Yeah.
Is it possible, do you think, that AI could be, or beings with AI, uh-huh. whatever you want to call them,
sure.
little Watsons,
yeah.
could themselves become sub-creators of sub-creators?
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I consider this is sort of like the question of whether there are other Earth-like planets in the universe. I
yeah.
think we should probably just treat it as an open question and see what happens. I don't think there's anything
threatening.
It's sort of been, yeah,
threatening.
Or, right, it's not inherently threatening or any more threatening than, you know, the kind of questions that any technology raises. There are always ethical implications that we ought to
right.
explore. I don't think there are unique ethical implications for AI research, because we're dealing ultimately here with computers and programs, with objects. We're not dealing with sentient beings. So it's really different in kind from, say, experiments that conduct human cloning or that destroy human embryos. There are real intrinsic moral issues there.
Right.
And I don't think that those are the same in AI research. It's just that both in the public imagination and AI researchers themselves, they tend to kind of bundle all this stuff together. So one sentence they're talking about replicating human language, and then the next sentence they're talking about us uploading ourselves to the internet and, you know, sort of casting off this weak, meaty, fleshy
right.
hardware for something more permanent. Well, these are several different issues. I think it's best to kind of keep these distinct. But as long as we're talking about computer research that deals with figuring out ways to mimic and replicate aspects of human intelligence, I don't think there's anything intrinsically morally problematic about that.
Great. Well, thank you for being on the show today.
Hey, thanks, Annika. It's great to be with you.
For ID the Future, I'm Annika Smith with the CSC in Seattle, signing off. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2010. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.